Good evening and welcome to Lockdown Series episode 13. We have a hybrid show today. It's a little bit of a combo between Kevin Says and the Lockdown Series. And of course, we will be talking about the breaking news regarding Diego Maradona a little bit later in the show. Welcome to the show. Super Kev, welcome. Thanks for joining me once again.
No problem, Soph. Hi to you and hi to everybody who's going to be joining and coming in the chat.
Okay, here's what we're going to do. We're going to do something a little bit different, everyone. Hope you enjoy it. We're going to play Kevin Says pre-recorded segment, and then you guys get to ask him anything you want about what he said. This is about Arteta, the Arsenal, tactics. He thinks everyone should keep calm and believe in the process. Here we go. Enjoy.
Hi, this is Kev Says. I think it's seven or six, one of the two. I've got something to say to a lot of the Arsenal fans. You know, we're a classy club. We know that. We are just not playing well at the moment. There was a massive clamour for change. And Mikel Arteta changed it. Obviously, everybody who the fans wanted in and out maybe didn't materialise, but he did change it. And nothing really changed, did it? You know, the performance was still a bit erratic. Obviously, what happened with Nicolas Pepe wasn't good. You know, getting involved with Alioski and getting himself sent off was poor. Pleased that he came out and apologised, because I think there was a lot of fans questioning, has Arteta lost the dressing room and all this kind of thing. I don't think Arteta's lost anything. I just think the players just aren't performing at the moment. It's that simple. It's difficult to take. As Arsenal fans, for sure, it is. But it will change. It will change. There won't be. They've got too much quality to be like this and to be, you know, not good. Performance is not good at all. They've got too much quality, and from time to time it happens. And I've been part of an Arsenal squad that, you know, was struggling to score. In how many minutes, and ended up, I think it was my first goal. We played Nottingham Forest at home and we ended up beating them 3-0. I think Perrygrove scored, Alan Smith scored, and I came on just before half-time and I scored in front of the North Bank for my first goal for the team. And obviously then we went on. But it can happen to teams, goal droughts. It is part and parcel of life. And I know it's frustrating, Gooners. And listen, there's battles and everybody's got an opinion, but every opinion is valid. There's not one saying your opinion's wrong and mine is right. No. Everyone's opinion is valid. But we have to be smart about how we accept other people's opinions, because we're all gooners at the end of the day. We're all one big family. Sometimes we battle, families battle at times, but we are one big family. Now, how does Mikel Arteta get this show on the road? I think that the message to the players is to perform, relax and perform. What? There's nothing stopping Arsenal performing. Obviously, their confidence is a little bit low because they haven't been, you know, blowing teams away. They haven't been blowing anybody away of late. So, you know, it's all about your next game. And we know the Europa game is your next game. And that's going to be an important one. Get a win there. Got to build a bit of momentum from somewhere. Somewhere has to be a momentum builder. And then we've got Wolves on Sunday, which is going to be a very tough game. But Arteta's proved that he can get this team to beat Wolves. We've beaten Wolves before and we can beat them again. Got to be a lot of belief. And the rest, everybody just needs to step it up a couple of percent and we're going to be fine. get a win, and then all is good for the North London derby. So I know people are doom and gloom, and we know Arteta's learned on the job. Fine, that's not a problem to me anyway. But for me, it's the performances. So whatever team Arteta picks, the team just has to perform, and they've got to get across that white line and produce the goods. Arteta can't play for them once they cross the white line, so they have to stand up and be counted and perform. So for me, this, Kev says, is all about being calm and believe that things are going to change, performances are going to change, and we will score from open play. Come on now, we will. There's too much quality not to. So, look, hopefully Partey will be fit and Elneny will be fit and some of the other players, Saka will be fit, etc., for the Wolves game. And we could go into that and have a right go at them and win the game. But listen, let's keep the faith. Let's keep believing. And we do have a quality squad. I know that we need some changes in there. Yes, we do. But it's still quality. So keep the faith. Kev said.
I like, as you guys know, the Highbury squad's been trying to bring you, a diverse amount of content during the lockdown series. This is episode 13. We've done a lot of different things, from talk to players about inside the dressing room. We had a great show with She Wore last night, a brand that creates and has phenomenal merchandise inspired by Arsenal. We've had our top five underrated players. We've talked to Arsenal fans from the United States and all across the world. We've had our fan forum. It's been really quite great. And to be able to kind of have our Kevin Says segment on a pre-record, but then get the man himself after right on to chat with you and answer all your questions is amazing. And we do know, and we understand, a true legend has passed away from the game today. And we'll get to that at the very end, because there's quite a bit that Casey wants to say about that, as do I. So send in your messages. Right, Casey, we're going to start it off with someone who wrote to me on Twitter. This is him_AFC New Era. He said, Casey, it's hard to keep the faith when the results are bad and the football is absolutely atrocious. Arteta is rapidly running out of time. It's unsustainable. What are your thoughts?
Again, keeping the faith. You don't keep the faith when you're doing well. You keep the faith when you're not doing well. You see, that's when you have to keep the faith. Do you believe in the players? Do you believe in Aubameyang's going to start scoring? Because I do. He's too good not to. And every so often, these things happen to teams. You know, these things do go on. A team goes through a bad run, etc. But Arsenal will work it out. The professional players, they will come good. Now, running out of time where? This is the part I don't understand. Where is Arteta running out of time? Because he's only had one transfer window. And for that one transfer window, he's already brought in the pieces that we needed to plug in the first place, probably 3 or 4, 5, 6, probably a decade ago. So I understand his frustration, Sophie. I really do. And it's a really good question that was asked. But I think there has to be some semblance of understanding that Arsenal are not Man City. Arsenal are not Liverpool. In order to get to that level, we have to build. Now, you can't build if you keep changing manager. You can't do it. We have seen some upside to Arteta. Nobody can't say we haven't. But there's going to be bumps in the road. And this is a bumpy time for Arteta. And does he have to change things and make them perform better? 100%. I agree with that totally. But I truly believe, keeping calm myself and the faith, it will come good.
Okay, so let's get to Moose's question. KC, who do you think will be able to use from the reserves, and who will you drop from the first team?
From the reserves? I don't know. Listen, the Arsenal squad is massive. The first team squad is massive. So unless you're talking about people who ain't really playing, you know, Smith Rowe, we haven't seen Smith Rowe even, for instance.
What about someone like Balogun who scored like 39 goals in, I don't know, if it's 42 games or something ridiculous like that? Maybe he'll feature in Europe. Is it too soon? I guess fans are saying, okay, who's there to bring in? Who really is there to bring in?
Well, if you think about it, Sophie, I think there's still the Willocks and Nelsons of this world, Smith Rowes of this world, who aren't quite fully fledged first team players yet.
Mm-hmm.
And they're probably a little bit above the under 23s, if you know what I mean. They're kind of in that middle ground. They are the next batch of players who are going to get opportunities. Balogun is training with the first team, etc. Mm-hmm. Now, one thing I will say, he might get some minutes in the Europa League tomorrow. I just don't know. So Balogun obviously is probably the next one to add to that group.
Yeah.
But wouldn't you like to see a Smith Rowe? And we've seen
I would. I think Balogun might be more talented than Eddie, but we don't know that yet. We haven't seen him and how he'll react to being in the first. We definitely have the talent. You know, I want to get to as many of these as we can. So we're going to rattle through them, because we're going to come back to a generic conversation about, you and I differ a little bit on a couple of things, but this is more about the listeners getting to ask you questions. So let's get to Jose's, because this is a good one. Who gets over scoring goals again? What are the things that help a striker overcome a rut? If anyone knows, you do, Casey.
Start playing better. Because we do have players who can create. I keep hearing we need a creative player. No, we do already possess players who can create. The problem is we just haven't, one, been playing well enough. And two, when we do get the few opportunities we do get, we're not clinical enough. We haven't been clinical enough. The ball hasn't really been falling to Aubameyang. It's been falling mostly, actually, to Lacazette, who hasn't taken his chances. And, you know, from starting the season where he started okay, you know, it seems like he's lost his confidence right now. So I just think the team need to be playing better. And once the chances start coming and we start taking a couple, then the confidence will come back into the side. And you know what? Someone's going to get a hiding, Sophie. I'm telling you now. Someone is going to get a hiding from this Arsenal team.
I hope it's Wolves or Spurs.
Listen, I'd love it to be Spurs, by the way.
I'd love it to be Spurs. Okay, here's Johnny Boys. What I worry about is, has he lost the dressing room? Now, you and I talked about this on a previous show, and I mentioned it the other night as well. Because then quality becomes incidental. The board have questions to answer for all these high-profile gaps. And I think where Johnny Boy's coming is what I mentioned to you. Pepe comes out and is vocal about not playing. Willian goes to Dubai without telling him. You've got a fight on the pitch with David Luiz and Ceballos, which we know happens all the time. There seems to be like a disconnect compared to the euphoria and the happiness and the team camaraderie and spirit we saw in the FA Cup, Casey. What do you think about Johnny Boy? And you know when a manager loses the dressing room.
Well, I could honestly tell you, Arteta, no way has Arteta lost the dressing room. The things you talk about are things that have happened year in, year out. Fighting on the training pitch is common. Maybe it never happened under Wenger because maybe there wasn't that spirit there where everybody was, it was such a competitive environment. When you operate in a competitive environment, you're competing on the training pitch to try and get a position in the starting 11. So there's a lot riding on training. Now, we even heard where people were saying to Kieran Tierney when he first he got fit and he was training to calm down. Now, why would he calm down? He's got to train the way he plays. You see? And this sometimes is the difference. Now, we can talk about the board all we like. There are quality players in our squad. I'm not saying all the players are good at the longevity and the consistent one. I'm not saying that. And we know certain players need to be replaced. or certain players need to be brought in and other players need to go. That is true. But there is a core of quality within this squad who are just not playing well enough at the moment, Sophie. So I don't personally think Mikel Arteta's lost the dressing room. I just think everything gets questioned when things ain't going right.
Okay, let's go to I call him our All Blacks, right? So here you go, Casey. What do you think of Pepe and the team is feeling after Arteta, his adversarial contradictory word after the game with supposed non-negotiable comments? He refers to David Luiz's fifth red card of the season. I think what sentiment is trying to say here is Pepe gets thrown under the bus. You know, Guendouzi gets sent on loan. Ozil gets ostracized. Willian goes to Dubai, but yet gets the start. What do you think about how he's managing here? Which is, I think, what the core question is versus...
Yeah, it's a good question. Very good question. And this is what I will say. Whether anybody likes it or not, there is a hierarchy in the dressing room how the manager deals with you. Okay, when I was a young player coming into the Arsenal squad, Do you seriously think George Graham would treat me the same way he treated David O'Leary? No, David O'Leary has experience and he has cachet with the manager. Do you understand what I mean? Whereas me being a young player, I've got to earn his trust.
Mm-hmm.
The manager, yeah, you will be treated the same in a certain semblance, but the manager, there is a tier system and a hierarchy to the dressing room, and David O'Leary has earned, because he's been there, seen it and done it, he's earned the position, and he would be treated a little bit different to how I would, and rightly so, because when I was an older player, I was that David O'Leary. I got treated and a young player, obviously you have to have it tough. And sometimes you have to have tough love. And let's be honest with you. Nicola Pepe's sending off was uncalled for. It was terrible. Great that he apologized, but it was uncalled for.
Very really petulant. Uncalled for.
Guendouzi, don't forget, what was said in the background, Mikel Arteta spoke to him and he didn't want to know.
Mm-hmm.
He threw his toys out the pram. That's a lot different to an experienced player, the way the experienced player will handle stuff and speak with the manager. So it's a very, very good question, but experienced players are treated a little bit differently to younger players.
Okay, Jonathan, this is an interesting one. Does it affect the players when the rumours start about a manager leaving, and can it split the squad as those not playing might be pleased if a manager goes, and how do the squad pull together? I don't think that's the case right now for us. It certainly was... for Unai Emery. I also think, KC, to be quite honest, we have some spoiled brat players. You posted a comment, which, by the way, KC knew it was from 2018, guys, when he posted that on Twitter. His point was, listen to what you're reading and really listen to the words, because it is indicative of a cultural DNA issue with players being weak sauce. And we talked a lot on the show about Bellerin being weak sauce, loved by amazing humanitarian, but too soft maybe. Our team's been too soft. So our players seem affected by things. So what do you think about Jonathan's comment about that? And
another interesting question, Sophie. A very interesting question. I think when you have a strong dressing room, the dressing room will never follow rumours. You know, the dressing room would never follow rumors because there's no reason to follow the rumors. Look, when you're in a professional environment and everybody's focused, whatever's happening outside of the building doesn't affect you.
Mm-hmm.
It can be used. Fans, this is great for fans to read and, you know, comment on and all that. But when you're in inside that dressing room, it's sacred. Nobody outside could penetrate what's going on. If you don't have a dressing room that is all together, that's when things start to creep in and undermine what's going on. And I think Unai Emery suffered that in the end, Sophie, because it was disjointed.
Yeah. And thanks, JW. Balogun might be great, but Nketiah had a way better scoring record, and even he ain't ready for the first team. Nketiah needs a season on loan, and Balogun is way behind him. Thoughts, please. We just talked about that. I think you've actually made your point yourself, don't you, Casey?
Yeah, it's a good point. But as you rightly said, Sophie, you won't know until you give him a chance, because you never know. It could just click.
Yeah. Let's get to this one from Epic Win. Very interesting one. Casey, what do you see in Arteta that you can keep faith in him, as you have very tough games in December? We also have one coming this weekend. Yeah.
They're all tough.
Making very decisions in starting lineup, like playing Bellerin over Maitland-Niles and playing Willian. We've talked on our show a lot, Casey, about Maitland-Niles deserving a shot, being in this team. He was so good in Project Restart. He's great in the FA Cup run. Yeah. A little bit shafted, perhaps, and maybe some fans are reading into that Arteta has agendas depending on what players do and how they behave, i.e. Maitland-Niles came out and was vocally supportive of Ozil. So what are your thoughts on this?
I personally think when Mikel Arteta took over, we actually saw the team start to perform and be aggressive. And I know we haven't got that aggressive team at the present moment, but if you remember rightly, we played Manchester United and we played Chelsea. And the team ran out of steam. We beat Man United and we ran out of steam against Chelsea. But we saw an aggression to the team. We saw a toughness to the team. They've not been consistent, but that's always been our issue over the last 10 years, Sophie. We haven't been consistent, okay? In the league. But what we saw was, I keep mentioning a snapshot and the eye test. We saw an aggression to the team that we haven't seen in a long time. Mm-hmm. Now we go into the cup competition, and there were tough games. Sheffield United away was tough.
Manchester City
at Wembley was tough. Mm-hmm. Chelsea at Wembley was tough, and we played well in all three. So we saw what Arteta was trying to do. We saw he knew how to adjust. We said, everybody said it, he outsmarted Pep Guardiola in the semi-final, and he outcoached Lampard in the final. Even with Chelsea's money and everything, he outcoached because we adjusted and we beat him.
He didn't in the league with
No, but that's what we're going to... I was asked, the question was, so what do I see in Arteta? So I saw he can make the adjustments. I saw he can get some of these players performing, maybe not consistently, but performing consistent enough to beat one of our nemesis in Manchester City, who beat us comfortably after Project Restart, and to beat Chelsea in the final, FA Cup final, and to win a trophy. Now we move on to this season, Sophie. We've seen the team as erratic as we've ever seen them. There are new players in there. There are players who maybe don't understand each other, etc. But that's all down to them playing together, them starting to get an understanding. And here we go again. This is the inconsistency of Arsenal in the league. 1 minute, we can go to Old Trafford and beat Manchester United. Next minute, it's not even the same team play Aston Villa at the Emirates, and we look like a non-league side. So again, it's not Arteta. Arteta takes the blame. Of course he does. But again, you can, as a manager, you can only prepare the team to cross that white line. And once they get across that white line, the players have to perform. And if they're not all focused, Sophie, you're in trouble.
Yeah, you really are in trouble. And that's where I kind of come off when we talk about Arteta, you know, is that he's got to start translating that cup up mentality and everything week to week. Each week in the league. Okay, this one's a good one from Lockie, however you want to pronounce it. 73, I hope I've got it right. I like your logo there, the old school, old-fashioned cannon.
Yep.
Tierney is a proven winner. Is he struggling with the soft culture and attitude some of the players have shown? This is an interesting one, especially when you consider the team he's kind of jumped into, Casey.
Well, it's a really good question, and I think it's a definite yes. It is a definite yes, because whether we think the Scottish league is easy and it's a two-team league, you still got to put the work in. You still have to fight. You still have to battle. And when players tell the likes of Kieran Tierney to tone it down in training, that should tell you, because the training should be intense. That's the way Mikel Arteta wants it. He wants it intense. He wants it trained the way you play. Not easy-ozy in training, and then when you come to a Saturday or a match day, if it's a nice game, that will play nice. And then that's why we always used to get beaten. And the game used to be over after 25 minutes, because as soon as we go up against a team who are physical, we get blown away after 25, 30 minutes. Mm-hmm. So I'm sure he is adjusting to what's going on. And I'm sure Mikel Arteta he doesn't want shirking violets in that dressing room. I could tell you that now. He wants to change that culture.
Yeah. I think we've seen an evolution in the DNA and culture, especially in the cup games. We've seen it in certain games in the Premier League, but it's just there's something not mentally locked in with this team week in, week out in the Premier League. You have to be mentally locked in. And I think, you know, sometimes fighting form, Casey, and trying to teach players certain things and the way you want to play, the mental side is almost tougher to overcome, because you're going to be, if you're playing for Arsenal, you've got to be a decent footballer of some kind, but managers make players better. But mental strength and conditioning, that's not as easy to come by, especially if you've been in a weak source environment for years and years and years. Here's another interesting one, because it goes, Kev, how do you manage when you are out of form, when you're not scoring goals for a while, asking for a friend, in parentheses, of Aubameyang?
Yeah, no, again, do you know what? Keep the questions coming, because a lot of these are great questions.
Yeah, there's a ton.
The key to getting past lack of form is the training pitch. You have to be doing the work on the training pitch, and you have to be believing in what you're doing.
On your own, Casey, your teammates?
Both. Well, it's all as a collective, Sophie. So whether you do team training or you do individual training, because I'm sure the strikers are doing extra finishing. I know that because I've been there. They're doing extra finishing. But it's so much different on a match, because there's things riding on it. Mm-hmm. And it will change. I know it will change, because that's the way football goes sometimes. We hate it when our team goes through a goal drought. But you know what? There will be a team who are further up the league who go for a goal drought, maybe over Christmas or maybe New Year, or it will come to other teams as well. So
this one's been pretty shocking with Oba. I don't think a lot of people – he's been so prolific. If you look at his ratio in appearances versus goals, Casey, he's been prolific. Like the trajectory would show you at his early career that he could surpass Henri and Wrighty if he had 10 more years, you know, to play with us. So I think that's just been the shocking part.
Can I just say this? Yeah. I think Aubameyang was due. I think he was due a drought, and it just as well coincides with the team not playing well. So everything, when things go wrong at Arsenal,
they go wrong.
Everything gets magnified, Sophie. Everything.
Yeah. This is an interesting one from Tashi. There's clear favoritism and no one can tell me otherwise. Regardless of any formation that Arteta plays, he asks 7 out of 10 players to ensure we don't lose and 3 players to win us the game. Your thoughts, KC?
Well, you don't know that, and I disagree wholeheartedly with he tells 7 players not to lose. How do you know, Tashi? How do you know? No chance.
Don't get Tashi riled up.
Yeah, no, I'm getting riled up because you know what, Sophie? I'm sick and tired of hearing this. The manager sends 7 players out not to go forward and not to be positive. Nonsense. Nonsense. The manager, he was shocked at the performance against Aston Villa at home. Because, fair enough, getting behind the ball and getting in a shape, that's fine. The problem with the players was, you see that extra bit getting to the ball, that extra 3 or 4 yards, that are the hard yards, Sophie. They are the hard yards. And when a player maybe is feeling a bit tired or doesn't want to do it, against the likes of Aston Villa, you come unstuck. What happened to Aston Villa in the couple of games before that? They got smashed out of the park by other teams. So if you're not willing to do the work, you are not going to get the results. And I think that's the telling thing for Mikel Arteta, why he was so shocked. So, Tashi, I disagree with you there. I don't think Mikel Arteta sends the players out to fail. I don't think he sends them out with a negative mindset.
According to Tashi, not all of them. Yeah,
well, not all of them, but not definitely not 7 players anyway, that's for sure. But if the players don't perform and don't do their job, because it's the job, the midfield and striker's job is to attack when we got the ball and to defend when we haven't got the ball. That's it.
All right. Here's Mike. Hey, Mike, how you doing? Hope you're really well. If the club had sold Oba and bought our or any creative player and played him behind Laka, would the team attack be better off? Nothing against Oba. Just curious of your opinion, Casey.
Well, you take 20-odd goals out of the team. Are you going to be better? No way. No chance. You're crazy. And then we could still have gone through this goal drought. And then you know what the narrative will be, Sophie? Why did we sell Oba? Why did we sell Oba?
Yeah, Mike. Sell Oba?
Yeah, but it happens. It really does happen. And look, we've seen some of the best strikers in the world not be able to hit a barn door. Do you remember when Shevchenko even went to one of the other teams? He couldn't score.
He couldn't. And Torres.
Torres, you know, it's not easy. When you're going through a tough time, maybe you need the one. You know where Bellerin set Aubameyang up in open play when he came off the bench in Vienna? A little tapping, that something like that in the Premier League, Aubameyang would take. You know, a little tapping just to get him going again. So you never know.
Okay, so there's another good one right here from David. Thanks for joining, David. It's all a case of balance. We are now good at the back where we used to leak goals. Push up 15 more yards so we can attack from the front. Job done. What do you think about that? Because, KC, we've talked a lot about the gaps. I mentioned to you in that game against Leeds, unfortunately, the gap between the defense and the midfield when we were caught whether we were going front to back, back to front, weren't we? So then the gap between the midfield and the front three, it stifled the progression of an attacking play or a breakaway. What do you think about what David's saying here?
Yeah, no, it's a good point, David, I must say. And what you just said, Sophie, you're right. These are the things that get put right on the training pitch. Because anytime, if you noticed, and anybody watching, if you notice, what tends to happen when a game goes into the second half and players start to get tired is the game starts to get stretched. The best teams move up and down the pitch together, like military, they're together. And when they lose the ball, they move back together. But not only are they moving back, when it comes into time to press, they move up the pitch together. I think what happens with Arsenal sometimes is we get stretched because players don't want to do the extra 5-10 yards. 5-10 yards pressing will save you 20 yards going the opposite way. But against a team like Leeds, who like to play in between you, if you're not together as a unit, you are going to struggle. And that's why we struggled against Leeds. And it was even more difficult with 10 men. And do you know what? Let's give some credit. I know we got away with it, but the 10 men did perform and we did come away with something. So
it seems
to give a little bit of credit.
Yeah, it seemed to be that we played better with 10 men, Casey. And also, let's not forget that we didn't have Thomas Partey and Elneny, who somehow has become a good partner for Partey in Arteta's new midfield. I know Sentiments asked a question before. I'm going to squeeze this one in because this guy also divides opinions sometimes and of late has certainly. At times, I feel like we need him on the pitch because he's a player that can retain the ball. He can also, when you think he's about to lose the ball, somehow just completely keeps control of it or manages to scramble for it. What's your sense on Ceballos? You've actually said, Casey, on one of our previous shows that you could throw him into that creative role in midfield and let him loose.
Yeah, I'll be honest with you, Sophie. He's one of the players who likes to get on the ball. I think he is creative. But I think when we play him in central midfield, he drops too deep to pick the ball up. So it's such a big gap between him and the front. You could see he can see the pass, but the defence reads his pass a lot of the time. It snuffs it out. I'd like to see him a lot further forward in front of the two sitting midfielders or Partey, one sitting midfielder, where he can actually influence and play between the line of the midfield and the defence, where he can get the ball on the half turn, and that's when he can slip Aubameyang in or slip Pepe in or whatever. He can make decisions from a shorter distance. I rate him. I do think he's a good player. I don't think he's poor. He played a pivotal role in us winning the FA Cup, etc. Last season. But I think he'll be more effective higher up the pitch.
Yeah. So this is an interesting one from Mally Mo. I don't know why. Don't ask me. We're going to ask Kev this. Why is it so hard to find a good striker nowadays? Seems like back in the day, it wasn't that difficult to find someone decent up top. I kind of know what Mally Mo's saying, but maybe because history tells us, especially with Arsenal, we've had so many prolific strikers, so many talented strikers. And it's not often you get record-breaking strikers, you know, from one era to the next. Look how long it took to break Cliff Bastin's record, Ian Wright, and then Thierry comes along, breaks that. What's your thought on the good striker nowadays?
Well, I truly believe that, you know, good strikers obviously are out there, but good strikers need to play football. And Eddie Nketiah, we know, for instance, is a good young striker, but he hasn't learned his trade yet. Balogun, good young striker, haven't learned their trade yet. You know, we are spoiled as Arsenal fans. We have had some of the greatest strikers in Premier League history and First Division history in our ranks. But, you know, there has to be a carry on. Aubameyang is 32. 31, 32. He's just 32 now. We got Martinelli, who's just coming off a long-term injury. Will he be the answer? We're hoping so. But we need more. Mm-hmm. We need a goal threat coming from everywhere. Now, you know, to put it on a young player like Martinelli, is that the right thing to do? I don't think it is the right thing to do. I think Martinelli has to learn his trade as well and get himself up to speed and slowly get himself in the groove. I don't think it's right to rely on him. But there are good strikers out there. Believe you me, they just need to be given a chance.
Yeah.
I know that.
You do. Kay Marlon, thanks again for all your questions. Great questions, you guys. Keep them coming in. I'm going to get to all of them. KC, we said 35 minutes, but they're firing off. Okay, all right, cool. If you're cool, I'm cool. I know you have an engagement a little bit later on. Arteta's a young manager with a good footballing brain. There is currently no older experienced coach who Arteta can bounce off his young ideas with experience coaching. Is that a problem? Now, remember when I mentioned to you early on in Chelsea's struggles, Lampard choosing Jody Morris? It felt like he chose Jody because they're soul brothers. He can trust him. And also Jody had worked with the younger players and also youth level, right? You and Frank Sinclair, we talked about this when we had the two of you on in terms of having that experience number two. I asked you the question about whether or not Arteta had the right man by his side as well. It's a really good question, especially if you're inexperienced. What's your take on what Kay Marlon is saying?
I think Steve Rounder's got good experience. He maybe doesn't have the resume that Arsenal fans want, but he's very experienced. He knows how to coach. He knows how to adjust. So, again, you're only he wasn't being questioned when Arsenal won the FA Cup. But always remember, Sophie, whenever things don't go well, we will question everything. And it's fair. Like I said in the video, Kev says, every question is valid. Every opinion is valid. But we still have to look at, you don't question him before, but now he gets questioned when things are not going as well as we would like. So if it was all right before and now it's not all right, we can't have it both ways, if you know what I mean. Steve Round is a more than capable coach. I think Mikel Arteta knows what he wants. And listen, at the end of the day, if Mikel Arteta and his coaching staff get it wrong more times than they get it right, Sophie, we know what's going to happen to them. We're under no illusions.
Yeah, I think, you know, we're heading into a year with him being in charge and he hasn't really hit the ground running in the league. And I think that's the evolution. And I like your title of your Kev Says Today. Yes, keep calm and stay patient, but it's also okay to call him out if you
100%.
Think. Right.
100%, yeah.
So Newman's got a good one here. Hi, guys. Looking forward. How did Tierney, Saka and Martinelli fit in? Listen, Emery, the one thing you could say about Emery, Casey, is that he introduced a lot of the young players. He gave them a shot. He gave them a chance. You know, he definitely loves that attacking side of the game. He focused on that a lot more. That's evident in the stats, as we've talked about on this show. So what do you think about what Newman is saying? I've seen a lot of people, including our friend Dan from St. Old Arsenal, who were going back and forth in chat earlier today about a 4-4-2. Is it possible to play a 4-4-2? You've been saying that.
I said 4-4-2. I said get Aubameyang and Lacazette through the middle. And if Lacazette ain't doing it and Martinelli was fit, you could put Aubameyang and Martinelli up there. Or you could get Aubameyang and Nketiah up there. Or even Aubameyang and Pepe or Aubameyang and Balogun. We just don't know. 4-4-2, everybody knows what they're doing. And you're playing, everybody plays in their pairs. You've got the right back and right midfielder. You've got the left back, left midfielder. You've got the two centre-halves, two centre midfielders, and you've got the two strikers. And it from 4-4-2, it could morph into 4-3-3. It could morph into 4-2-4. It could morph into 4-5-1.
It's like a hybrid formation.
It is. That's 4-4-2 is how you defend.
Mm-hmm.
Right? But when you're attacking, you don't want to all stay regimented. You want to cause problems for the opposition. So wide players can come inside and do all sorts of things.
So in a 4-4-2, Casey, can you still be adaptable? Because I mean, we've seen some phenomenal sides play 4-4-2 and win championships, win trophies all day long, right? But I guess the biggest question is with that 4-4-2 is always about how we set up the back. Because apparently David Luiz plays poorly in a 4, but he's more effective in a 3, gives him that ability to kind of take possession more, sweep the ball out, especially to the wing backs or the flank runners, whoever that's going to be. Can you explain to me a little bit then with regards to if it's going to be Luiz, if it's going to be Gabriel with him, if he's the first choice, how adaptable can we be? Because it seems like that's the biggest pickle. He wants to play the 4-3-3 really, but all I hear is like 3 at the back. Then it becomes like a 5.
Yeah, well, if Mikel Arteta, as we know, wants to play 4-3-3, but he's having to make do with a 3 or five, whichever way you want to cut it, that means he doesn't trust the players to do 4-4-2. And that or play four at the back. Now, David Luiz does play better in a three because he's got more protection. He's protected either side of him with maybe a holding or a Gabriel or whatever. I mean, it was Tierney in the final, wasn't it? You know, Tierney and holding in the final, etc. So he and let's be honest, Sophie, he played excellently in the semi-final and final. We've seen him have some of his best games in a three. But that brings the question. It actually brings up more questions. Where's Saliba? Where's Saliba? Saliba's there who we can play higher up the pitch because he's got running power. And obviously David Luiz hasn't got the legs anymore. And that's, if we're going to play four at the back, your two centre halves have to be able to run. They have to, or else we're a makeshift team. Square pegs, I'm sure you've heard the saying, square pegs, round holes.
I say that a lot on this show.
Yeah. We can get away with it, as you say, in the cup, but in the league, we are not consistent enough.
Okay. So to back up Newman, because he said I'd go 4-4-2 as Tierney, Saka, Martinelli is a left-sided dream. Tierney can come down the wing and Saka can move infield behind the strikers to become a 4-3-3. It also brings me to this comment that someone just sent to me, because you know I've been on a rant about Martinelli, but this is true. Arteta didn't fancy him when he first came in, and before his injury, he wasn't playing him as much as Emery was.
Yeah, is but that... you don't, Sophie, you don't know if he was carrying the injury. You don't know. So if he's carrying the injury, one thing you don't want to do is put him in harm's way. And look what happened. He actually had to have a serious knee injury. He had a serious knee injury and had to have surgery on it, which is, for a young man like that, it's a serious injury. So again, saying that you don't fancy him, a young player like that getting double figures. Come on, I can't say I agree with you there, because he's never ever come out and said, I don't fancy him.
No, he hasn't, but he didn't play him and he was fit when, as far.
Yeah, I mean, but was he carrying the injury? You know, I
don't know that. All I know is I hope that he sees, because for me, Martinelli could come in as a fresh new signing. He's been gone for so long now, Casey, with this team coming into this side, it'll be like a hotshot new signing. And I think that's the effect that he can have on this side. Okay,
Sophie, yes. Can I just say, please, darling?
Yes.
We're going to find out when Martinelli's fit, whether Arteta fancies him or not. Because he'll be fully fit.
Well, he was fully fit and he wasn't
shooting. No, but we don't know. We don't know if he was carrying anything. Remember, they kept quiet and then all of a sudden he was injured. But we're going to find out when he is fully fit, whether he fancies him or not.
All right. Here, I've got one for you here, because this is an ongoing discussion with a lot of fans. And you're listening to the Highbury Squad. This is the Lockdown Series, episode 13. Thanks to everyone for tuning in. Keep those questions coming in. Some fantastic ones. Casey's really enjoying this too. Really smart listeners out there asking really good questions. Where is Saka's best position? Joe brings up, Saka is a left back. Why doesn't Arteta play him at his strengths?
Saka isn't a left back, Joe.
He's not.
He's a left midfielder. Or a left winger.
I just want to set this up for you a little bit more, because the way I see it also is he reminds me of Gareth Bale a little bit. See, Joe thinks he's a left back because that's where he's been squeezed into, but he's really not. He's more of an offensive left-sided player. Gareth Bale started as a left back. Harry Redknapp evolved him into one of the greatest left-sided creative players, midfielders we've seen in the last 10 years. Say what you want about Bale, but he adjusted. I think Saka changed the game when he came on and we had 10 players, whether he was exhausted or not with England. How do we preserve this golden gem? Where do you play him?
Again, you play him on the left-hand side of midfield, or if you're playing 4-3-3, the left-hand side of that three. I would love him to play left side of a 4-4-2, if I'm honest, because he has so much scope from there where he cannot be picked up. He can come in narrow. He can go and join the front. He can get sitting behind the front too. He can go right up high on the left-hand side. So there's so many different positions where he is so comfortable on the ball where he could make a difference, but he is not a left back. And we've got a left back in Tierney, Joe. Come on now.
Exactly. This is why fans want to see the evolution of Saka, because we got Tierney. You get that. You got Partey now. You find his proper partner. And then for me, it's like Saka on the left, Oba. I'm still, the jury's out, you know me, with Pepe, his petulance. And I was all about him getting a chance. And I think he can redeem himself and come back and do something. This is his moment, Casey.
Yeah.
Excuse me. To really show what he can do. And I think that if he comes back and he doesn't perform and he doesn't get this right, I think it's going to be curtains for Pepe. Do you know what I mean? I really do, because Arteta already half believes in him.
Well, don't forget, Pepe isn't Arteta's signing. He inherited him. And if you listen to the comments from Raheem Sterling and the work Arteta done made such a massive difference to Raheem Sterling's game. So that must mean Arteta knows what he's talking about, knows what he's doing on the training pitch, knows how to improve a wide player. Now, I know all wide players are not the same. I don't think anybody questions Pepe's talent. I think what people question is his temperament at times. And that sending off the other day at Leeds is only going to magnify the situation. So Pepe's going to have to come back, and he's going to have to toe the line, and he's going to have to produce. Sophie, everything that is difficult for us Gooners right now is all about performance based.
His sending off was so petulant, and he looked like he wanted a few days off. He looked like he wanted out of that game. That's how it felt like to me. And KC, you know, you've been in this game long enough to know when players just are like, oh, F it. You know what I mean? I'm done. And the way he walked off and the words that he had shared when he was on international duty, there's friction between the two. Clearly, he's a talented player, but he really needs to just put his head down, graft, and show this team that he's worth it. And I think this could be his redemption. I think he can come back from this and be a true hero, KC.
Well, I'd like to think so, Sophie. I'll be honest with you, because somebody that talented is too good a player not to produce for Arsenal. But you know what as well, Sophie? I think if he doesn't, then I think Mikel Arteta might be looking at, okay, he might be a potential trade piece. Because remember, he hasn't got the money that the other clubs have got. So he might need pieces to trade. I hope not, because I think Pepe can be an absolute star at Arsenal. But if he doesn't do the business, Arteta has to do what... He has to be ruthless and do what is right for Arsenal Football Club.
All right. So we've had some... We're 55 minutes into a supposed 30-minute show. Tony always says to me when I say... She goes, how long are you going to be? I'm like, 30 minutes. Sure, I'll see you in an hour and a half. Well, that's because we've got so many great listeners. And let's squeeze this one in before we want to talk about Maradona. And if you guys want to share your favorite Maradona memory, get that in chat as well. We're going to be talking about him in shows to come. But we really do want to just immediately address the sad news today as well. Joe Kim, we're going to squeeze this in because he had some couple good questions. What do you think of a front three of Oba, Edouard? He's not our player yet. Pepe, do you think we can be really unpredictable as a striking force? I think that's kind of we don't know, do we?
Well, Edouard ain't even at the club, so
yeah,
it's no point even discussing. Look, We need to be unpredictable as a front anyway. And any front three or front attack offense needs to be unpredictable. Because if the opposition know what you're going to do and you're too predictable, that's how they stop you at source. So whether it's Lacazette, whether it's Aubameyang or Nketiah or whoever is up front for Arsenal.
I want to bring these comments up real quick too, because it's true. One red card doesn't make him a villain. Look how many chances Willian has had. In terms of villain, Willian hasn't really been the villain, but this guy has. I remember one Robin Van Persie being petulant initially, but look how that ended up. Arteta has to give him a run of games. I think that's really true about, you know, where he's at. But it's down to him now, Casey. You know, it really is. It really is down to him. And thanks for last man. First time here. Great stream. We appreciate that. Hit that like button for us and join us again. We really appreciate you joining. Now, Super Kev, sad news today. It's been sad. We've lost some legends. Nobby Styles, Ray Clements, and today, Diego Maradona. Now, Diego Maradona is the kind of player that even if you don't like football, like Pelé, like Messi, like Ronaldo, you know their names. They cross over into popular culture. They cross over into different forms, forums and of our lives. And Diego Maradona, for a lot of English fans, is the genius and the devil all at the same time.
And the villain, yeah.
And the villain. And I remember in 86, I hated him. I absolutely hated what he did. And if VAR existed then, England, you know, who knows how that game would have turned out. He probably would have killed us with his skills again, and he scored one of the greatest goals we've ever seen. But for England fans, for a long time, we appreciated his genius, but we really hated him for that cheating moment. And it was, in my eyes, he cheated. What a colourful career and life this man has had as a player. I just take it away, Casey. Maradona. When you hear Maradona, what does that mean to you?
Well, Sophie, you know, it's we're talking about one of the great ones. Some say he's the greatest player ever, and some believe he is the greatest player ever. And you really have to look at the era he played as well, because the tackle from behind was still in. You know, the physicality of some of the defenders that he played against was there. You know, he done it for Napoli. I mean, Napoli were nothing, and then he went there and he ignited the whole of Naples and got them a title. And that was huge. And it was all to do with him. He was the main. He was a player. Not only did he have great ability, he made everybody around him better. Everyone around him better. And, you know, in that 86, you're right. I didn't like him, Sophie. I hated him for what he'd done. Mm-hmm. But, you know, when you actually look back and he scored the hand of God goal, and then that second goal where he just picked the ball up and it was an incredible goal in the World Cup, because you're hoping somebody could tackle him. And I've spoken to a few of the boys. I spoke to Peter Reid about this. He said, I couldn't get near him. You know, you're trying to get near him and you just couldn't get near him. And the deception, because he's so small and so fleet footed, that the jinx and the feints done everything. He was such an incredible player. Colourful character, and, you know, one of the greatest. He really was. And you know what else as well, Sophie? He had that left foot that can do anything with it. It could pick a lock, Sophie. It could pick a lock. And I'm sure everybody's seen that video of him where he's just warming up.
Oh, gosh.
And he's just flicking the ball up in the air and he's just dancing and it comes down and he's just, you know, he was just incredible. He really was an incredible player. And, you know, for all the dislike I had for him, I truly am sad because he's another one of the great ones who went too far too young, Sophie, far too young.
60 years old, Casey, and I'm sure that we'll be talking about him inside the dressing room with our guest Jason Cundy this coming Friday. We're really looking forward to that, and I love hearing the player's perspective. And you know, some fans are like, a cheat's always a cheat. You know, some people, he's a very polarizing figure, unlike Pele. You know, Maradona did some crazy things. If you haven't seen the documentary, go see it. He had a drug problem, of course. He was addicted to women and drugs. Yeah. I mean, he was addicted to a lot of crazy things throughout his career. But what he did do with Napoli, and we're going to dig into this a little bit more. I'm going to bring someone on from South American football, Argentine football, Casey. I'd love to do an episode next week where we kind of dig into Maradona a little bit and talk about him, because it's not just like any player passed away. It's Diego Maradona. When you talk about the greatest footballers of all time, for some people, he is it. For some people, it's Pele. For some people, now it's Messi, Casey.
They're all at the same table. All those guys are at the same table. You know, definitely. Who's the best? We don't know because the different eras. But you know what? What a table that is with these guys.
Yeah. Yeah, it really is. And, you know, thoughts and going out to anyone who loved him. At the end of the day, he's got family. And when you lose someone that you love, I can't even imagine the scenes in Argentina right now and what is going on there. We're definitely going to see them. But Diego Maradona, legend of football, World Cup winner, game changer, trailblazer, crazy, crazy guy. But at the end of the day, gave us memories that we'll never forget. Passed away today, age 60. And we will be talking about him in a little bit more depth on our show on Friday as well. For today, everyone, you smashed it. Super Kev. Some really fantastic questions that came in from the listeners. I love this. I'm thinking maybe during the rest of the lockdown, we might do Kevin Says this way. What do you think?
Yeah, I think there's definitely longevity in it because you know what? These gooners, man, I tell you, they're testing me. I love it. But I love it. And you know what, Sophie? I like the fact that this isn't, everyone don't agree with me. And, you know, we can thrash things out. I can only give my opinion as an ex-player and someone who's been at the club. But everybody has their own eye test. Everybody sees what they see or has their opinion. So let's have it out on Kevin Says again.
I don't agree with you, but this segment was for the fans. So I'm going to save it for another show because, you know, we agree and we disagree in some ways when it comes to this subject. Right. We're an hour and 3 minutes in. Casey has another important engagement. What's coming up for you next this evening, Casey?
I'm going to be on AFTV. I'm going to be on with Robbie, I think, at 7.
All
but
right.
I've got something to do between now and then. So, yeah. A busy day.
Well, everyone is saying thank you. Everyone sent a lot of cool messages talking about how lucky they are to be able to have such access to talking to a legend like you. So thank you again, Casey.
Thanks to everybody.
This will be available on replay immediately after. And until we will be back for a different kind of show tomorrow. Let's just say that we might just be giving thanks tomorrow. How about that one, Casey?
I agree with that. I definitely agree with that. And you know what, Sophie? It's always Arsenal. Come on, you Gunners!